app. This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago, where Bears fans mourn the loss of an NFL icon. His family says Dick Butkus died in his sleep overnight. He was 80. WBBM-TV's Marshall Harris looks back.
Eight-time Pro Bowler, six-time All-NFL player in nine seasons from 1965 to 1973. A Pro Football Hall of Famer, Butkus, named the NFL's 10th best player when the league celebrated 100 years. After growing up on the south side of Chicago, he starred at the University of Illinois, where he was an All-American. His impact so great that the Dick Butkus Award now annually given to the top college linebacker in the country.
AT&T and Gallaudet University have developed a football helmet for quarterbacks who are deaf or hard of hearing. Andrew Bennett with AT&T on how it works.
The coach basically calls in the play on a tablet on the sidelines. It gets beamed to the helmet and then it shows up in the view of the quarterback. And then the quarterback can then sign the play in the huddle.
The Biden administration allows for a border wall expansion in southern Texas. It comes as the Department of Homeland Security reports migrant apprehension surpassed 2 million for fiscal year 2023. More from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Do you believe the border wall works?
No.
But his own Homeland Security Secretary, traveling in Mexico, said they do work. Secretary Mayorkas issued a notice stating there is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States.
The Biden administration will restart direct deportations of Venezuelans. The latest from CBS's Camila Montoya-Galvez.
This, in many ways, realigns U.S. policy towards Venezuela to really mimic and reflect policy for other nationalities. Right now, Venezuelans who cross the U.S.-Mexico border will face either deportation to Mexico or to Venezuela if they cannot establish that they have a valid asylum claim.
No word on how many deportation flights will take place on a weekly basis. CBS's Jim Crisula reports on a new home for a piece of history.
A statue of Christopher Columbus now sits in a park in Johnston, Rhode Island, 3 years after it was removed from a square in nearby Providence, where it was vandalized several times.
Activists say celebrating Columbus ignores the rape, murder, and genocide endured by indigenous people during the European settlement of North America. Johnston, Rhode Island's mayor says residents of the heavily Italian-American town are happy to give the Columbus statue a new home. A new United Nations report says that storms, flooding, fires, and drought are displacing millions of children around the world. UNICEF says extreme weather uprooted some 43 million children from 2016 to 2021, and climate change is making it worse. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
As so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Yep, Jane in for Kristen. Greg Bach is on the board. And new mom, hopefully, the plan is, Greg Bach, that Kristen will join us next Wednesday from 10:30 to 11. Right now is kind of the plan. And we'll do a little news update with her. And then we'll get a baby Francis update. And that's what we're shooting for right now.
That makes me excited.
I know. I'm really excited about that. I don't know if she will share Francis on the StreamYard, but that remains a work in progress. So we'll let you know more details about that. Got a great show coming your way today. Hey, coming up this hour at 10:50, you can win a $100 gift card courtesy of Auto Glass Now. This is $100 for you to do whatever you want with it. Auto Glass Now offers fast, reliable, convenient service. And for a limited time only, Auto Glass Now offering 50% off windshield replacement. Go to your local Auto Glass Now today for all of the details. So you want to be listening for the sound of breaking glass.
Do you want me to play it once?
No.
All right.
When you hear the sound of breaking glass,
all right,
you want to call 844-967-2789. And we're just going to pick a random winner.
Yeah. Random.
Just random. You don't have to...
Like the universe.
You don't have to justify what you're going to do with the money. You can just get your $100 and then we'll have a little chat. So that's coming up. Yeah, coming up at 10:50. Next hour at 11:06, and I'm looking forward to this. There was an article about stay-at-home dads in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Greg and I were talking about this off the air, and you happen to know someone.
I actually know a few stay-at-home dads.
You do.
One of my closest friends in life and comedy, Mr. J. Tyler Menz, is a stay-at-home father for two little girls, and he'll be joining us to talk about that as far as the challenges, expectations, stereotypes, those kinds of things. And he'll join us at the top of the second hour.
Yeah. And if you're a stay-at-home dad or you know someone who's a stay-at-home dad, we would love to hear from you too.
Yeah.
Just about your experiences and, like Greg said, the different challenges, the different expectations, perhaps. That's coming up at 11:06. 11:33, Paul Noonan will be joining us, regular contributor for the SB Nation Packer website, Acme Packing Company, and as well as the Baseball Prospectus in Milwaukee. He's coming up at 11:33. But we are still going to start with some sports, Greg Bach. This did not go the way everyone had hoped.
Oh, it didn't go anywhere near the way we hoped, expected, wanted. It was embarrassing.
Was it embarrassing?
Yes, it was absolutely embarrassing.
Diamondbacks beat the Brewers 5-2. The Brewers are out.
Swept. Two games out of three. We got our Tookuses handed to us in the first game. We blew a 3-run lead and then ended up losing that game. And it was frustrating. I am, as a fan.
And I know you are a huge fan.
Yeah. So it's weird because I'm not a business. I don't own any part of the Brewers. I'm not a player. I don't have anything invested other than my time and my energy. I am very frustrated because, yes, have we won the division many times? Yes, we have. Have we been taken out in the first round many times? Yes. And that is why.
That's a big part of the frustration, isn't it? That this seems like deja vu.
Yeah, because it's generally known that the NL Central it's not the strongest division. You got strong teams. The Cardinals will play well, and the Cubs will play well. We will play well. But it's pretty well known that once we leave our division in any sort of post game, we tend to fall apart. And the closest we got was 2018, and we made to Game 7 of the NLCS. I'm still proud of that. But even still, there was no reason why we couldn't have won. There's no reason why in the past 5 years we shouldn't have a World Series championship ring. It just seems to always just we poop the bed, and it's disheartening. And there's a bigger implication now because of the Brewers Stadium.
Absolutely.
And we were talking about this before the show. You know, they want money, and we're going to give it to them. Why? Why at this point?
$600 million.
Yeah.
They want $600 million in public money.
Yeah. You want our money. I want you to make me want you to stay here. That's what I want.
That sounds like a rock song.
It's, a Cheap Trick better not sue me. I'm just at the point now where, if this is going to be our thing, there's not much of a difference between a losing season and this, because it's disappointment no matter what. And I think any Brewers fan who's really dyed in the wool at this point was hopeful, but not optimistic. And that sucks.
It does suck.
That sucks. Why does Atlanta and Los Angeles, man, they crush. They crush. And they're probably one of those two teams is going to go to the World Series. If they don't, that's a huge upset. But one of those two series, most likely, in my opinion, Atlanta is going to go to the World Series. Why can't it be us?
Will this change, do you think, the discussion about the funding for the stadium?
I don't know, because I think at the end of the day, the Brewers will dangle the possibility of leaving over our heads, and neither the Democrats or the Republicans, which this really isn't an issue anyways between the parties, neither one of them wants the Brewers to leave on their watch.
Or to be the one blamed for losing the team, right?
Exactly. You had Tony Evers with a deal that, while I wasn't a huge fan of, was more fiscally responsible. The Republicans said no. Now the Republicans have a deal that is just blowing up everything. And they're doing it to say, well, we want the Brewers to stay. Well, then why didn't you get on board? Like, this is not a partisan issue. This is about the fans, the players, the economic impact. So is this a bargaining chip now? Can the state say, well, you guys aren't winning? But that doesn't, I mean, I don't know how I don't think Wisconsin elected officials are going to come at them and say, well, you're not winning. That's not just in us to do.
No, I don't see that either. It's like a bunch of losers. We're not going to give you any money. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Curious what you think now that the Brewers are out of the playoffs yet again. Is this going to affect the financing for AmFam Field? They want $600 million. I saw something else this morning that the Jacksonville Jaguars are asking for $1 billion for their stadium. $1 billion. It's remarkable to me. And then the same thing. And they're threatening that, you know, we're going to take our balls and we're going to go someplace else if you don't give us $1 billion.
Bye.
Just let them go?
Yeah. Somebody, some municipality has to stand up to them. Somebody, some team. At some point, a mayor or a council president or county supervisors, when they're coming at you with $1 billion demand, get out. What are you bringing to us? What is our ROI on this?
Right.
$1 billion? Is it for a new stadium or for upgrades?
It's for upgrades.
What are you putting in there?
I know, right? Gold-plated toilets or
actual Jaguars?
Yes, there's a Jaguar suite where it's just actual Jaguars.
I don't even understand.
And what does this loss now with the Brewers losing to the Diamondbacks last night, what does this mean for Craig Counsell?
I mean, honestly, like, I'm in a very rageful thing. And I told you this morning, you asked the question. I just said, I want them to fire him. Will I feel that way tomorrow or the next day? Probably not. But I feel like if you have a manager who could only take you to a certain level, and we've plateaued as a team then, because we only get to the first round of the playoffs and we lose. What does he have for us? Or not us. I'm not playing. No one wants that. What does he have for the team that can still take him to the next level? What is it? And is it more money in the payroll for better players? Keston Hiura is not going to stay with the Brewers. He may stay with the Brewers if we pony up money, but he's elected to become a free agent. We are going to lose players because of this. And that is bad.
Yeah, that is bad. The whole idea is to build a team. And again, I thought in everything that I've heard and everything that I have read, this was a great team.
This was the most cohesive, in my opinion, the most cohesive, fun team we've had since 2018. That group was so connected in 2018. And I felt like that's where they were at with this team. There was so much fun. There was motivation and a hunger to win. And that last month and a half of the regular season, we really came out and showed it in those victories and crawling our way up to the top, staying really at the top of the division the entire season, mostly here and there, like losing it, but coming back and then coming out strong. We were like 7-8 games ahead.
Yeah. They looked really dominant. And all of the predictions, again, from just 2 days ago, were like, they can take this all the way and we're going to take it all the way. And I feel badly for all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I do. And the other thing that I didn't realize, too, in this $600 million that they're asking for, it would include winterizing AmFam Field so it could host concerts, basketball games, and other events during the offseason.
I'm not going to lie. I think that is a good investment. If you can open up that space for other people and during that time, yeah, I get that. I totally understand that. And it should be. If you can put concerts there, cool.
If you Why should it sit empty that whole time? Well, we're taking your pulse on the Brewers' sad loss last night to the Diamondbacks. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call or you can text us. We are coming up to a break in just a little bit. We will take your calls and get your reactions to that really, really sad. Greg is sad. We're all sad. 5-2 loss.
So sad.
I know. 5-2 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We will be right back after the break. I hope you'll stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies for us here in the overnight. West winds up around 25, and by daybreak, 43 degrees. Clouds aplenty for Friday, and we'll see a chance for some showers. West winds up around 30, the high just 50 degrees. Right now, it's 48.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we go right to the lines in order. Annie of Watertown, my friend. Thanks for calling, Annie. What's in your mind today?
Well, so come on. What's the problem? It's okay to carry a gun. Why can't he use his Second Amendment right to carry his gun? It wasn't concealed. He can walk right in to talk to the governor with a gun, right?
Well, yeah. Except that Wisconsin... Yeah, go ahead, Annie.
I live in an area where, I mean, the Watertown paper stopped carrying all the details on it. It used to be you could see where each district voted what, but, gee, they stopped doing it. Of course, the Watertown paper got bought out, and they don't print much of anything anymore. But right. My local person in charge of the voting, she was harassed. I mean, this is like overwhelmingly Republican voting. And back in when Trump lost, she was harassed, maybe even the election before. She was harassed about the voting thing. And it's like, why, you know, why? Because this is all Republican, everybody's Republican, yet people had a bug up their butt and they had to go and give her grief. And what's going to happen is there's not going to be any sane people. The only people that are going to run elections are people that are in with the MAGAs. You know, it's going to be all MAGA all the time running everything because they're the only ones that are going to feel safe.
Yeah, you know, that's a very poignant statement. And, you know, when you were joking in the beginning, what's wrong, you know, going and seeing you, it is against the law to open carry in the Capitol. You can't walk in even with a holstered gun, and you certainly can't walk in with an AR-15 or an AK-47. Now, do we want guards at all the doors? I mean, kind of an easy thing would be guard sees a guy coming with a gun and arrests him. We, unlike many, many other state capitals, don't do that. You can walk in freely. And in a way, I like that. I like that a lot. And fortunately, there were people at the governor's office who intercepted him, called the police. Governor was not in the Capitol at the time. But how would you like to be the person sitting at the reception desk? You know, anybody walks in. This character was bare-chested, had a dog on a leash, and he had a holstered gun, and then he comes back after he's arrested, and they let him go. I wouldn't let him go. Don't let him post bond. Let's have a mental evaluation of this guy, or just hold him till he gets charged. He goes back with a semi-automatic, and then he says, "I have a lot of guns at home." Now, this may just be a sickie. He is a sick puppy. But what if the governor had been there? What if the governor was walking out with some people to go to lunch or something? That is the problem. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how you get this character. Trump is obviously behind a lot of this disastrous stuff going on, encouraging violence all over the place. Isn't he kind of inciting a riot sort of by remote control and over an extended period of time? It seems like there ought to be some kind of charge like that against him. What can we get him on for doing all this crap?
Jack Smith is doing the job. It would be very nice if we had charged the fake electors in this state. They charged them in Georgia and they charged them in Michigan. But Jack Smith is going after him largely, in effect, for fomenting the coup. And so that's the main bullet in this thing. But we need some backup from state attorney generals. Thanks for calling. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Well, you just tried to put my mind in a little different direction on the whole fake electors thing. But let's face it, the attack on Megan Wolf and the attack on the ones that want her impeached, with Janelle Branchen and all this, and they're still claiming the election was stolen. They're still trying to abridge the results of our election, which I would consider the constitutional violation of 14, Section 2, abridged in any way. They're still trying to abridge the election. And I mean, and if this guy would have had a concealed weapon, they wouldn't have been able to toss his ass out. I mean, it's insane to me. I was just out today walking with the dog with my shotgun out at the public hunting ground. They're just, getting him trained up for hunting season this year. But good grief, you could, we've got all kinds of people that are running around the Capitol with concealed weapons, primarily on the Republican side of the aisle. Maybe there's a few Democrats there, but these Republicans make a point of, I'm armed and loaded all the time. These guys are nothing more than bullies. I mean, and unfortunately, you can't go all Ralphie on their Scott Farkas Grover Dill asses. That's a Christmas story, folks, for those who don't recognize that. But the only thing that's different between them and Scott Farkas, they don't have yellow eyes.
That's terrific. Well, yeah, thanks for calling. That's a great call. And let me say something else. Several of the callers pointed out that Trump is behind this. Trump just the other day gave an interview in which he said that immigrants poison the blood of the American nation. Immigrants poison the blood. Poison the blood is a phrase out of Mein Kampf. Mein Kampf means my struggle in English, and it's Adolf Hitler's screed that he wrote partially when he was in prison in the early 20s. We read Mein Kampf in a political philosophy class in college, and it's absolutely bonkers crazy, also badly written. But Trump did that on purpose. Trump doesn't do anything by accident. When he attacked Elizabeth Warren because she had allegedly had Native American descent, he'll say, I'll see you out on the trail. The trail is a reference to the Trail of Tears, where the Indians were rounded up in the Tennessee area and forced into Oklahoma, and a lot of them died. He says that kind of stuff. When he says poison the blood, it's right out of Mein Kampf. You cannot have a president who quotes from Mein Kampf. I mean, that's the bar is low, but you Republicans out there, if any of you disagree with that, then there's something wrong with your party. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Beep, 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 yeah. Beep, 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 yeah.
Beep, 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 yeah. Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief, saying goodbye to an NFL great.
Menacing Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus, who played 9 NFL seasons for the Chicago Bears, has died at the age of 80. His family says he died in his sleep at his home in Malibu, California.
CBS's Jim Crisula. Also in football, AT&T and Gallaudet University develop a football helmet for quarterbacks who are deaf or hard of hearing. Andrew Bennett with AT&T.
This is just really opening the door, and what we're hoping is that a lot of people see this and think, hey, I could use this technology for this other thing. Just the beginning.
reversing his stance against any continuation of ex-President Trump's border plans, which never got far and got no Mexican funding. President Biden's now explaining why he's using funds allocated then, used now, to build more of the border wall. He's pointing to Congress.
I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They didn't. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what was appropriate. I can't stop that.
CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Howler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go back to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Well, I told Todd this earlier, and I firmly believe it. This is no longer with Trump a dog whistle. This is a blowhorn in your face, direct, you know. He, in this gag order, is a joke, too. He's still running his mouth. He, yesterday, too, he's whining about, I should be out on the campaign trail. No one asked you to be there, sir, and you didn't have to be there. The only reason in my mind, Matt, that he went to that at all is just so he could try and get this tried in the court of public opinion. And sure enough, the media comes running every time they see him, you know, and covering right. everything he does. I don't right. care when he goes to the bathroom, you know. I just don't. Right.
Well, you know, that's a good call, Dick, because I'll tell you something. It no longer is a dog whistle. When you say that immigrants are going to poison the blood of the American nation, that is right out of Mein Kampf, right out of Mein Kampf. And Mein Kampf was the basis, it was the first written expression of what turned out to be the worst genocide in the history of the world. This guy is off his rocker. I think this guy has early stage dementia, and he's combining it with intense rage, intense anger, and intense hatred. And he has been diagnosed by psychiatrists. Admittedly, he didn't lie on a couch in their office, but several prominent ones said that he is a sadonarcissist. You cannot have a sadonarcissist who quotes from Mein Kampf in the presence of the United States, period, end of story. We're going back to the lines. Lee of Yuba, my friend, thanks for calling. Lee, what's in your mind today?
Hello, hello. I want to go back to the very beginning. I love the way you start your program about being woke and knowing history. I taught U.S. history and English for 30 years in high school, and I think what you said is extremely important, and I think the population today that belongs to the Republican Party have no concept of what black shirts were or brown shirts were. But we've got the current group is the white supremacists, and they're following.
Right, Lee, that's an excellent call. We just lost you, Lee, and I think it's on your end. So what I would suggest is if there's a disruption, call back in and Calvin will put you through. But I think that's an excellent, excellent, excellent comment. And thank you very much. It looks like you're calling back in, Calvin. I don't know. Can you hook our friend Lee from Yuba up? Well, we'll try to hook Lee up. We're hooking him up right now. Hello. Lee, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, keep going, Lee. Yeah, I liked your comments. Keep going.
Yeah, so anyways, it's, you know, when you study history and Mein Kampf and Hitler and Mussolini and the most recent dictators that came to power, including Putin, but, you know, people have kind of fallen for their false rhetoric. And, you know, when Hitler was in charge, his troops swore allegiance to him, not to the Constitution that they had at the time. And that's exactly what this clown is doing in our nation right now. He's the most undemocratic person. And if the Republicans keep going the way they're going, we will lose our democracy. And boy, what was that?
Yeah, hello? I think that's right. And I really appreciate your call. And to have a history teacher make this your call is especially valuable. And I think you taught history for many years, decades. And I think everybody should take note of that, because if you don't have an historical grounding, you may think a lot of that's going on is all new. It isn't all new. It's been going on for centuries. Thanks a lot for calling. Chris of Janesville, you're next. What's on your mind today, Chris of Janesville?
Yes, sir. So I listen to you all the time, and what is really, really getting me right now is he's quoting Mein Kampf. What do we need to do to make people understand that what he's doing is, well, I don't know, quoting Mein Kampf?
Right. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that's a good point. And I'll tell you, there was an article that I saw yesterday on the, or last night, and it outlined every time Hitler used the words poison the blood of the nation or poisoned our blood. And he would do it with regard to Jewish people. He'd also, in some cases, do it with regard to Slavic people. He had this sick idea, Hitler did, that somehow his race was a master race. And that any intermarriage, any miscegenation, as he put it, is somehow evil and wrong, and it poisons the blood. Well, what do you mean poisons the blood? Are you kidding me? Over the course, Homo sapiens evolved about 200,000 years ago. In 200,000 years, how do you think we all ended up the way we are? Because people moved, they intermarried, and so forth. But his prescription, Hitler's, was violence. Mein Kampf means my struggle in German. He was arrested in the early 1920s after the Beer Hall Putsch, where his people fought the police. Some of them were killed, and he got thrown in jail. And he should have been thrown in jail a long time, but he got out after a couple of years, and he started to write Mein Kampf while he was in prison. When he became chancellor, he ordered that couples getting married in Germany be given a copy of Mein Kampf as a wedding present from the state. He was, to say he's a sick puppy is to trivialize it. This guy was a monster. He was evil. And why Trump does this isn't rational, because if he simply wanted to run for president again, he's been the president, he could tone some of this down, but he is terrified. I think he's terrified of going to prison. He's terrified of losing his money, his status. He's being exposed right now because everybody else in the Republican primary is so ridiculous. Mo Larry Curley, you know, Herman Munster. I mean, they're all caricatures. So by default, he was the president at one time and he has name recognition. So no one knows where to go. They're not going to go to DeSantis. But the clown keeps then threatening people, threatening court clerks, as well as all those prosecutors and judges need 24-hour security. Jack Smith had to sell his home. He has a wife and kids. Trump will point that out. He'll name them. He named the judge and his daughter and his wife that's involved in Alvin Bragg's case, the fraudulent document case in New York. So, but for him, and he did this very sadistically with Elizabeth Warren saying, I'll see you out on the trail, referring to the Trail of Tears in American history back in the 1830s, 1820s and 30s. Many, many Native Americans died. Their women, children, as cold as heck. They had no food and they were being whipped and beaten along, told to walk from Tennessee and Kentucky out to Oklahoma. How would you like that? That's what happened. And Andrew Jackson was a big part of that, quite frankly. And but he thought that was funny. I'll see you on the trail. Now he's ratcheting up on Rosh Hashanah. He put out it used to be, you know, whatever his social media, True Social is, and attacking Jewish people who he said were liberal. This guy is sick. He's bad news. He's evil. And don't just get lulled into thinking, okay, he's going to be the Democratic nominee. He cannot possibly be permitted to be president again. Joe Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. You're next. What's on your mind today, Joe?
2 points. Great show again, as always, Matt. 2 points. I find it, I mean, it's sad, but it's also kind of comical that Mr. Trump is saying that immigrants poison the blood of the nation, since his wife is an immigrant and naturalized citizen, Melania. And also his previous wife, Ivana, was an immigrant and naturalized U.S. citizen. So I guess both of the wives are poisoning the blood of the nation, sad to say. And then the other thing that I wanted to add to was I admire hugely the pluck of one of your earlier callers, a woman who said she's had her hard times of people bothering her, and she takes a tough stance against anybody who threatens her. But I would add that this situation up at the Capitol and others where, for example, the woman in the law clerk in the case up in New York where she's being threatened, you know, it's one thing when you have the money to pay for security. Governor Evers has security, and he has said that his security will be changed as a result of this incident. He has, by the dint of his office, security. It's the other people that work in the Capitol that I'm concerned about. You know, it's the secretaries, it's the people walking through. Those are the people that I'm concerned about, and I'm concerned about that law clerk in New York who has been left high and dry to cope with this situation. She doesn't have the bucks, and there is nothing that says that law clerks are going to be given protection in that office. So anyway, 2 points wanted to make. Thanks a lot, Matt, as always.
Excellent points. And, you know, I agree with you, because this guy came in with a semi-automatic, bare-chested, holding the dog. Obviously, the guy's maybe nuts. But, you know, if you even press the trigger of that semi-automatic, you know what's going to come out. A lot of bullets coming out. There's somebody sitting at a desk in the governor's office and the door is open. What is he or she supposed to do? They come in. You know, is there an alarm button? I mean, I hope there is. But you're right. What about people walking through? And if he's looking for high-profile targets, there are legislators there. But more importantly, what if the governor and a couple of his aides come walking out to go to lunch? They're going to walk down onto the square, you know, go to a restaurant. What about that? And the woman in New York, the clerk, who just sits in the court, it's a ministerial job. She has absolutely no authority. She can't do anything to convict Trump or to, in this case, get in a verdict that would make him pay a lot of money. She can't do anything to avoid that. And he puts a picture of her. She was at some kind of an event, and Senator Schumer was there. Well, he's one of the senators from New York. It's a big deal. She's standing having her picture next to him. He calls her Schumer's girlfriend. That's pejorative. It's false. But this woman every night has to go home on the subway after dark. And this was posted on True Social to, 50 million people. And it was up there for hours before the judge found out and told him to take it down. The guy's very cruel. But also, he is sending not dog whistles. It's not a dog whistle when you quote Mein Kampf. I want to talk briefly before we go to a break. I think some good news, Wisconsin congressional elections. I want to talk about two in particular. The first congressional district, I've just found out last night that the mayor of Delavan, Ryan Schrader, and I know Ryan Schrader, he's excellent, very smart, very hardworking, honest as the day is long, terrific mayor of Delavan. He's knowledgeable about municipal government, but he is being asked to run against Stile for the first congressional district. I strongly encourage him to do that. I hope he does do it. And if he does do it, I think I will support him. And I think I would recommend that others do the same. The second thing is we have a new entry into the third congressional district race, Representative Shanklin from the Stevens Point area. And she's very good. And there are other good ones as well. But I will tell you, there's a candidate in there, Rebecca Cook, who's already declared, raised money, and is attracting significant support. She's a very aggressive in a good way. She doesn't come from some establishment political background. And I think that she is someone to keep your eye on, believe me. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
But the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies for us here in the overnight. West winds up around 25, and by daybreak, 43 degrees. Clouds aplenty for Friday, and we'll see a chance for some showers. West winds up around 30, the high just 50 degrees. Right now, it's 48.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
1.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the Russian savages in Ukraine killed 51 people just now. In a village of 300 people, they launched a missile into a grocery store and it hit a coffee shop, killed 51 people out of a town of 300. And a lot of them were assembled because they were at a memorial service for somebody who'd also been killed by the Russians. The Russians are savages. This is a genocide. Every time I read that it's a war, I don't like it. It is a genocide. It's a sadistic genocide. Russia is desperate. Russia is desperate. Joe Biden has done a great job standing up to them. And I want to talk about quickly how that's going to impact this speaker's succession to McCarthy. 75% of the House, 75% of the House voted for the so-called clean continuing resolution that McCarthy pushed through last week. 75, about 156 Republicans and 209 Democrats. 92% of the Senate, 92% of the Senate supported it as well. And nevertheless, people are wringing their hands about Ukraine aid or about even funding our government after November 17, which was the extent of the continuing resolution. Because what? This fellow Gates, this troll, this android Gates is causing trouble. And he roped in another seven of them, MAGA weirdos. And in the Senate, you have Tuberville, one guy blocking appointments in the military, saying there are too many officers. Rand Paul blocking ambassador appointments, and he blocked the ambassador to Niger. And as a result, there was an Islamic takeover. They threw out the government that was friendly to us. They now have Russian flags and they're murdering Christians. J.D. Vance won't approve any U.S. attorneys. And then Rick Scott just came out today. He will block any bill on any subject if it is not spending related to his satisfaction. Now, enough's enough. If 92% of the House, of the Senate, can't figure out how to make its will felt, and if 75% of the House can't figure out how to make its will felt, we don't need any of them. Get them the hell out of there and put people in who are Americans. Put in people like Fighting Bob La Follette, Bill Proxmire, Liz Aspen, people of that nature. In the House, McCarthy could have still been speaker if he just got up on his hind legs and said, we're going to have a clean budget for another year and we're going to have aid for Ukraine, and he'd have 75% of the people behind him. He didn't say that. He's an idiot. But in the Senate, Tuberville, Rand Paul, J.D. Vance, real damage is being caused to our military and our foreign policy. And now Rick Scott's going to shut the government down. why is this business of unanimous consent, which is unconstitutional, still being observed in the Senate? Why is this rule that Gates weaseled out of McCarthy, that one person can vacate the chair, not overturned immediately? Where are the Americans? You know what we have in the Senate? We have chicken hawks and buttercups. The chicken hawks, I'll tell you, Tuberville never served. These other guys never served. And they're shutting us down. But everybody else just sings, I'm poor little buttercup, sweet little buttercup. Nothing that I can do. Well, yeah, there's plenty you can do. Get rid of unanimous consent. Get rid of the filibuster, at least on military and spending issues. They won't do it. Because the vanity of the Senate is that they are all in the most exclusive club in the world, more exclusive than the Milwaukee Country Club. And they like that. And that's pathetic, and I'm damn tired of it. And then when it comes to the House, they can't muster the courage. I want to say one thing. If this guy Jordan is the speaker, he's going to raise the same questions that Hastert did. If Scalise is the speaker and he said that he is David Duke without the baggage, there is a guy they should elect. His name is Tom Cole. He's from Oklahoma. He's a member of the Choctaw Nation. He represents the area around the University of Oklahoma. He has a BA from Grinnell. He has a master's from Yale, and he has a PhD in British history. And he's a very, very decent guy, and he's a conservative, a real conservative. We need a center-right party. If there's anybody out there listening, I know you're there, Republicans, and you know Republicans. Cole's name is being mentioned. Vote for him. He's clean. He's not a nut. He's not crooked. I mean, the bar is low. Let me be blunt. He's clean. He's not crooked. Not a weirdo. And he'll act in the interests of the United States. We're going to the lines quick. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. You're next. What's in the mind today, Jake?
You know, I think those Republicans are doomed to pick a pro-Russian Speaker of the House because Donald Trump will insist upon it, and they're all terrified of Donald Trump saying something bad about them. So when he calls out for Putin's first choice, which I don't know, it'll probably be Jim Jordan, you know, that'll probably be their choice. It's whoever Vladimir Putin wants.
Right. Russia has got to be destroyed. Russia has not contributed anything to humanity in 100 years since they killed the Romanovs. They killed the Romanovs, their own Romanovs. And since Lenin then took over, their savage, genocidal, and sadistic presence in the world for 100 years have produced nothing of value. They have nuclear weapons. Otherwise, we would have leveled Moscow and St. Petersburg already. What has to be the strategic objective of the United States going forward is that Russia, when this is all said and done, taking away their nuclear weapons, they have two cities, Moscow and St. Petersburg, and a little isthmus in between that they can go back and forth on a rail car. And they can be a museum for Western tourists. That is their function. Otherwise, their exports are sadism, genocide, and fraud, and we can no longer put up with that. We must support Ukraine. The Ukrainians are terrific. They're brave as hell. The prisoners of war Ukrainians are now being killed. The UN just issued that report today. The Ruskies are killing them. They're raping women, kidnapping 20,000 kids, beating the Ukrainian out of them. These are savages. We cannot afford to tolerate a savage government anymore. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stand by for Diamond Crew, Devil's Advocate, another great show. And I'm signing off for today.
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.